frustrated and not quite knowing what to do. And I'm not sure I still know what to do.
An Anchorage rabbi reacts to the mass fatality shooting at a Pittsburgh synagogue. From Alaska Public Media, this is Statewide News on Alaska News Nightly for Monday, October 29th. Good evening, I'm Casey Grove. Also tonight, the state is taking over Fairbanks air quality regulation.
There is also the potential that EPA could get involved in particular cases if need be.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Today's broadcast of Alaska News Nightly is presented by Alaska Pipeline Service Company, sustaining Alaska's pipeline for 40 years and counting.
There were some testy moments during debate for the state Friday night when Congressman Don Young and independent challenger Elise Galvin faced off. But one thing the candidates agreed on, American politics has become too hostile. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Galvin says she'd model civility in Congress.
I think that all of the hate and the emboldening of that hate and those actions is horrible. And frankly, that's part of why I'm running.
Galvin is 53 and a first-time candidate who appears on the ballot as the Democratic nominee. Young is 85 and the most senior member of Congress. He says he continues to work well with Democrats despite the tense times.
A lot of blame is going on, a lot of pointing of fingers. I'm one and been rated as one as the most bipartisan across the aisle individual. And the 5% it gets things done.
Young often points to his score on the Lugar Index of Bipartisanship, which examines party affiliation in the sponsorship of bills. Young is in the top 10% in the most recent ranking. The candidates found plenty to disagree on. For instance, climate change.
We're warming up, and I do not believe man is the cause. It's being used as an instrument to frighten people.
Unlike my opponent, I agree with the 99.5% of scientists who say that climate change is absolutely related to human activity.
Galvin says she'd consider a carbon tax as a way to reduce emissions. Young says he'd oppose. The testiest exchange of the night was between Young and one of the panelists. It came after Young talked about the caravan of Central Americans walking north through Mexico.
I don't know what's going to happen when those people arrive at the border, how they're going to handle it. That's going to be the big, big enchilada when that happens.
Channel 2 News reporter Rich Maurer questioned Young's use of the term.
Mr. Young, you used the word enchilada. This is the big enchilada coming. Was that intentional?
No, and you know that, Rich. I watched you over the years attack Ted Stevens, and you attacked me all the time.
Young said he only meant it in the sense of the big one. Still, Galvin seized the opportunity to bring up a different term Young used 5 years ago.
While that may not have been intentional, I think it lends itself to, you know, kind of where we're comfortable speaking. I know that he's also used the term wetbacks in the recent past. And there's just no place for that anymore.
Young apologized in 2013 for using that word. Galvin had her own trouble with terms during the debate. She repeatedly referred to cutters when she apparently meant icebreakers, which are a specific type of Coast Guard cutter. The debate was a co-production of KTUU Channel 2 News and Alaska Public Media. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Former Secretary of State and presidential candidate Hillary Clinton is wading into Alaska's governor's race. On Twitter today, Clinton urged followers to support Democrat Mark Begich, calling him a dedicated public servant with a record of, quote, cutting through bureaucracy to get things done for Alaskans. Last week, all three of Alaska's congressional members voiced support for fellow Republican Mike Dunleavy in the governor's race. It's not clear how much Clinton's support will help Begich win over skeptical or undecided voters. In 2016, President Donald Trump won Alaska by nearly 15 percentage points. Trump endorsed Dunleavy in a tweet last week. A helicopter crew from Coast Guard Air Station Kodiak medevaced a hiker on Friday after he was mauled by a bear on Afognak Island. The 31-year-old man sustained multiple lacerations to his leg. A member of the hiking party called the Coast Guard District 17 command in Juneau at approximately 1 p.m. Friday via satellite phone requesting a medevac. Watchstanders in the Sector Anchorage Command Center assumed the role of search and rescue mission coordinators and requested the air station launch the helo crew. Coast Guard Public Affairs Specialist Nate Littlejohn is with Sector Anchorage.
An MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter crew from Air Station Kodiak hoisted the man who sustained multiple lacerations to his leg and brought him to Air Station Kodiak, where he was placed in the care of awaiting EMS.
A reminder from the Kodiak Police Department, the bears near town are still out. If you see a bear in town, call the police department on its regular line. That's 907-486-8000. And in case of an emergency, dial 911. The Kanakanak Hospital in Dillingham is putting patients in, quote, immediate jeopardy. That's according to a survey of the pharmacy the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services conducted in September. KDLG's Izzy Ross has more.
During the three-day survey, CMS says it observed practices that placed patients at risk of adverse effects and death from medication errors. The survey describes issues including missing labels, unsystematic labeling of medication, and incompetence among the staff. The specific instances of errors included in the report were numerous and in some cases grievous. In July and August, 45 medication errors were reported to the administration and were not investigated. According to the report, a patient went into anaphylactic shock due to a misprescribed medication. A nurse told the survey team that medication had several times been pulled from the automated dispensing system under a fictitious name. In another instance, the pharmacy gave a patient morphine at a dosage 5 times greater than the doctor prescribed. The survey states that multiple staff expressed concern of retaliation for reporting concerns to the hospital administration. 4 unnamed physicians at the hospital told CMS that they had, on multiple occasions, expressed concern to hospital administration that pharmacists lacked experience and that medication errors were on the rise. In a press release Friday, Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation said that it is addressing these issues by training new staff and updating processes and procedures. Kanakanak Hospital is an Indian Health Services facility that serves over 5,000 people in communities across the Bristol Bay area. With help from KDLG's Avery Lill, I'm Izzy Ross in Dillingham.
The state of Alaska has officially taken over Fairbanks North Pole Area Air Quality Regulation from the Fairbanks North Star Borough. The change follows last month's borough voter approval of a ballot measure banning borough government from regulating heating devices. Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation Division of Air Quality Director Denise Koch says the DEC prepared for the takeover.
Making sure that we had the most critical pieces of the program ready to go.
Koch says rules and requirements are not changing under DEC control, and the agency will employ the same Stage 1 and Stage 2 burn restrictions with air quality alerts announced online.
Alaska DEC on Twitter, BurnWise Alaska on Facebook, sign up on DEC's Air Online services, and that way they'll receive an email notification when alert has been called.
Koch says enforcement will continue to focus on education and assistance, but can escalate to notices of violation and settlement agreements that include monetary fines.
If people don't settle, then we can refer cases to Department of Law. There is also the potential that EPA could get involved in particular cases if need be.
She notes that the DEC is taking on the additional Fairbanks air quality responsibilities with existing staff and funding. She says there will no longer be mobile air quality monitor equipped vehicles, and assessment information will come from existing fixed monitoring sites, plus a new one being set up at Nordale Elementary School.
Because we're trying to be responsive to concerns we've heard from the Fairbanks community that there are locations in the Fairbanks portion of the non-attainment area that have higher levels of air pollution than what we're seeing from the NCOR or the state office building site. So we have put in a monitor that we're just about ready to get started.
The Fairbanks North Star Borough is undergoing a transition in leadership as new mayor Bryce Ward takes over from Carl Castle. An email from borough spokeswoman Lenine Livingston says the administration is, quote, still working out the details on our scaled-down air quality program, unquote, and expects to have information to share this week. Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, the state's 2019 Teacher of the Year is selected.
This whole school makes me who I am. It's not just me, and I'm thankful. I'm really blessed to be in a great learning community.
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by ConocoPhillips, investing and exploring on the North Slope and creating economic opportunities for Alaskans. ConocoPhillips, unlocking Alaska's energy resources.
The man charged with killing 11 in a shooting at a Pittsburgh synagogue over the weekend appeared in court today while people still reeled from the news. There was shock and confusion in Alaska as well. Rabbi Michael Oblath says police sent a patrol car at his request to sit outside Saturday services for Congregation Beth Shalom, the largest and oldest Jewish congregation in the state. In a phone interview today, Oblath recounted how he heard the news and what the congregation is talking about in its wake.
And then I saw a mentioning of shots near a synagogue is what it said. And then I sat down and I spent 3 hours in front of the TV, upset and, you know, mentally connecting to the people I know that are from Pittsburgh. And there are some members of our congregation that are, and they were affected by it. And so I thought, you know, my thoughts would turn out to them. But at the same time, you know, not really knowing what was going on other than that there was a shooter. It's very, very disconcerting to hear the term active shooter involved with a congregation. And frustrated and not quite knowing what to do. And I'm not sure I still know what to do. It's just a matter of recognizing that we have to be available to reach out to those in our communities that are hurting as a result of this and to be able to try to heal as much as we can and to try to figure out how to not get there again.
Yeah. What's the conversation been among your congregation about this?
The mood in the country is a mood where this kind of violence and this kind of threat is sitting there, not just right under the surface, but right on top, as this past week has shown. And several incidents during the week have indicated that, and even over the past several years have shown a marked increase in this kind of violence and attack and this type of openness in the society for people who normally wouldn't be doing this because they'd be sort of hiding under their rocks. And but at the same time, this the moment in our society when society is so split, it's so polarized that you have people on both sides hating each other and not willing to talk to each other and being willing to express emotions of and attitudes of violence.
And why do you think that is? I mean, you're saying that there's hatred on both sides of the political spectrum, but do you think that there's a reason why this is more a part of our lives now?
People in power who have the ability to change it, who have the ability to stop it, or to put controls on our society that should be there, are not acting because they have too many strong self-interests that keep them from seeing the greater picture of what our country is about. And I've seen that on both sides of the aisle. I don't like it. This is how we behave when we're in positions of power. When we have the power to exert it over others, we do. And we oftentimes do it abusively and violently. And you can look at history and see that it's true.
Today, the Anchorage Police Department said they were going to step up patrols near houses of worship. And I guess I have to ask, I mean, do you feel safe in your place of worship after this?
I feel safe, as safe in the synagogue as I feel anywhere else. I mean, and this is something that, I mean, the Jewish community has experienced stuff like this for centuries. And it's still something that when it happens, you become fearful. And at the same time, we understand that it happens, and we try to really stay ahead of the fear, in a sense, or work through it to be able to try to change our society as much as we can have any influence to do it, or to educate people, or to hopefully bring people together in a way of being able to talk to each other. And bridging that gap is what needs to be done. And talk as people who are citizens of a country that should and has for the last 200 plus years been able to work these things out and be a country and not be these two magnet poles that are pulling people in different directions that just rip us to shreds.
That was Rabbi Michael Oblath of the congregation Beth Shalom. Rabbi Oblath, thanks for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks so much.
Four Fairbanks men, known as the Fairbanks Four, will appeal the rejection of their malicious prosecution lawsuit against the city of Fairbanks. Federal Judge H. Russell Holland last week tossed out the case filed by the men against the city and several police officers. Holland referred to a 1994 U.S. Supreme Court case that outlines how a defendant must be cleared before seeking monetary damages for malicious prosecution. Holland says the men have their criminal convictions invalidated, not simply vacated, before they can sue. George Fries, Kevin Pease, Marvin Roberts, and Eugene Vent were convicted of murder in 1997. The Haines Borough has ordered its police department to stop providing service outside the Haines town site unless assistance is requested by the state troopers. The decision follows over a year of uncertainty about the local police department's role in providing service to areas within the borough but outside the town site. KHNS's Henry Leisha has more.
According to the town charter, the Haynesboro Police Department is only allowed to serve within the boundaries of the town site. In the past, areas outside of the town site have been policed by the Alaska State Troopers. But in 2017, the agency withdrew its sole blue shirt officer from the Chilkat Valley, leaving residents outside of the town site without any regular police service. Since then, Haynes police have been responding to calls from outside of the town site, even though it is a violation of the town charter. During the municipal election in October, residents rejected a proposal to create on-call police service areas outside of the town limits by increasing property taxes. After certifying the results of the municipal election at a meeting Tuesday, the borough assembly had a decision to make. Would the borough continue to violate town charter by authorizing police responses to calls outside of town, or would the police be ordered to stop responding to those calls? Ordering the Haynesboro Police Department to stop responding to calls outside the town site does not prevent them from assisting other agencies if requested. Haynes residents could still contact the Alaska State Troopers, who could relay the call to the Haynes dispatch. Assemblymember Sean Mady said he didn't think this would work in practice.
We're asking them to do something that is just not going to work. If there is an actual emergency, we're going to have them call somebody who will not respond or transfer the call. And in an emergency, seconds count.
Borough Manager Deborah Schnabel noted that correspondence with the Alaska State Troopers has made it clear they do not recognize the Haynesboro as their jurisdiction. Assemblymember Brenda Josephson said that providing urban-level police service across the borough is unrealistic.
This borough cannot afford townsite-level police service borough-wide. It is cost-prohibitive. We're a massive, massive borough. And if people throughout the United States, countries, the world, people who want urban level of services live in urban areas. You don't move to a rural area if you expect urban level services.
The order to stop providing service outside the town site unless assistance is requested by the state troopers was approved by the assembly in a 4-2 vote. In Haynes, I'm Henry Leisha.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by Matson, committed to the communities it serves, building on more than 50 years of service to the communities of Alaska. Learn more at matson.com.
Today in Anchorage, Danielle Rhea, a teacher at the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School, was honored as the 2019 Alaska Teacher of the Year. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early has more on the surprise assembly the school put on in her honor.
Danielle Rhea was coming back from a lunch with State Education Representative Bob Williams under the pretense that it was because she was a nominee for Teacher of the Year. Williams then led Rhea to the auditorium at the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School.
Like, when I knew for sure was when I was coming around the corner and Bob Williams looked at me and he said, "Are you ready for this?"
The whole school was waiting inside to applaud for her. Rhea teaches middle school at the charter school. She's taught every subject in her tenure at the school, but is teaching language arts and social studies this year. Rhea says she credits the school and staff for creating an environment that allows her to thrive as a teacher.
This whole school makes me who I am. It's not just me, and I'm thankful. I'm really blessed to be in a great learning community.
Rhea also credited students and parents for helping foster a strong learning environment built on family connection and respect.
It's reciprocity, you know, we just share that mutual respect and admiration for each other, and I think that's why we are so successful.
Rhea began her teaching career as a substitute in Dutch Harbor before getting her teaching degree and teaching in Togiak and Neustuyahak for 7 years. Due to her experience with Alaska Native culture, Rhea was recruited to help open the charter school in Anchorage and has been part of the school ever since. She says she tries as hard as she can to keep the traditions of rural Alaska alive in her teachings.
The most important thing that for me to get across is to stand on the shoulders of your ancestors, know where you come from, and plan for your future, and really be involved and engaged in your learning so that you can have a bright future.
Rhea was one of 5 nominees this year for Teacher of the Year. She will serve as Alaska's nominee for the National Teacher of the Year. Eagle River High School Fine Arts Chair Jacob Barra was selected as the alternate Alaska Teacher of the Year. He will serve as the State Teacher of the Year if Rhea is selected as the National Teacher of the Year. Profiles of Rhea, Barra, and the other 3 nominees for Alaska Teacher of the Year are available on our website, alaskapublic.org. In Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Three more megaships will ply southeast waters next year as the cruise industry expands in Alaska. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the pilots are using computer models to see how the big ships hold up under extreme conditions.
It was towards the end of last year when 3 cruise lines all announced they were bringing their largest ships to southeast.
And kind of caught us off guard.
Captain Jeff Bacon is a marine pilot. The state of Alaska requires pilots like him to oversee navigation of cruise ships while they're in state waters.
So we decided that given our charter by the state, which is to protect the life, property, and pristine waters of Alaska, that we needed to do what we could to study these ships.
Remember, this was back in 2017 when the first megaship, the Norwegian Bliss, was set to arrive in just a few months. It carries 5,700 passengers and crew. Bacon said it's
very comparable to some of the world's largest ships.
That led Southeast Alaska Pilots Association to phone up the cruise line in advance.
The cooperation we received from Norwegian Cruise Lines was awesome.
That cooperation turned into a week of Bacon and another Alaska pilot aboard the Bliss's sister ship.
They even gave us control of the ship 2 different evenings and said, do what you want to do.
The data gathered allowed the pilots to refine their computer model that was then fed into a simulator for virtual sea trials. Captain Bjorn Hansen was Norwegian's point man in the exercise.
We have a long tradition of working with Alaska pilots, and it's always been really good.
The study's recommendations included staying out of the scenic Tracy Arm, something the Norwegian Bliss already does.
Because of the turns combined with very strong currents and floating ice, we decided that we would stay away from that area.
Norwegian paid for the computer model. The independent pilots paid for the simulator and study, which was published earlier this year. Marine pilot Barry Olver said it was key the Southeast pilots bankrolled the study. It maintains their independence and ensures the data is public.
We work in the public's interest, and we want to make sure that the public is aware of what we find.
Now the Southeast pilots are working on a second round of studies before next year's cruise season. Here's Bacon again.
2019 will see not only the Bliss that we saw this year, but the Norwegian Joy. She's a sister ship. And Princess is going to bring the Royal Princess. She's a brand new ship. And the Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines is bringing the Ovation of the Seas.
The pilots have already received a computer model of Royal Caribbean's Ovation of the Seas. That ship's capable of carrying 6,400 souls and will arrive next year. Negotiations are still ongoing with Princess Cruises for a model of the Royal Princess, one of the largest in the company's fleet. But Olver said with or without Princess's cooperation, they'll run a model of the Royal Princess on the simulator.
It's all about mitigating the risk and knowing what we have before it gets here.
The simulations will be at the state's Maritime Training Center in Seward in December, Their findings will be published soon after. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
A nearly four-fold increase in winter and shoulder season visitors to Denali National Park over the last 5 years is pushing infrastructure to capacity and forcing consideration of new development. Park officials are taking feedback on potential changes at public meetings, including in Fairbanks this week. KUAC's Lex Trinan reports.
Denali National Park is floating options to accommodate the growing off-season use. Denali Outdoor Recreation Planner Jennifer Johnston is leading the planning effort.
We are really starting to run into some serious constraints, including what our facilities can support, what we are staffed to support, and what our budget allows us to do.
Currently, the main summer visitor center is closed during the winter, and the minimal services that are provided are concentrated at a park entrance. Some of the proposed concepts involve improvements to the winter visitor center, increasing grooming of ski trails, building and providing public access to wintertime cabins, and whether the park will continue a trial of wintertime plowing.
And if so, how far into the park and during what portions of the year?
Johnston said it was unclear whether that plowing helped attract visitors, but it may be continued under several of the proposed concepts. Winter and shoulder season visitation still only makes up about 2% of the overall park visitation, but that number is climbing, from 3,500 in the 2012-13 season to about 12,500 last year. The increase in shoulder and winter season visitation is primarily driven by a jump in tourists from China.
It doesn't account for all of the increase, but it's certainly a component that we haven't had before in the park. I think generally there's just interest in visiting Alaska. I think that, you know, there's, I don't even know how many reality TV shows related to Alaska on television. And I think people are just more curious about what Alaska's like when it's dangerous, when it's difficult, when it's dark, and when it's different from the typical Alaska experience that folks may have sought in the past.
Many of the dozen or so attendees at the Fairbanks meeting asked questions on a variety of issues, including the possibility of expanding snow machine access in the park.
That's not being considered.
The possibility for an increase in dog sled tour concessions.
We know that there is huge interest in dog sled rides in the park.
Grooming of the park road for skiing.
Although technically it would be legal, it's not necessarily something that we're heading full steam towards.
And even about requiring winter tires on Fairbanks rental cars.
It's a big problem.
The public is invited to submit comments to the National Park Service online or by mail until November 30th. In Fairbanks, I'm Lex Trinan.
And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. We had reports tonight from Liz Ruskin and Zachariah Hughes in Anchorage, Izzy Ross in Dillingham, Henry Leisha in Haines, Maggie Wall in Kodiak, Dan Bross and Lex Trinan in Fairbanks, and Jacob Resnick in Juneau. Our audio engineer is Ammon Swenson. Wesley Early is our producer, and I'm Casey Grove. Good night.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible in part by your local public radio station. Did you know a single person who makes less than $60,720 per year may be eligible for federal tax credits to help pay health insurance premium costs? If you need health insurance for 2019, you have a limited time to sign up. Open enrollment for 2019 plans is just 6 weeks from November 1st through December 15th. Nobody can predict when they will have an accident or get really sick. If you don't have coverage, it could be financially devastating. Protect your future and sign up at healthcare.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Division of Insurance. This is Statewide News on Alaska Public Media.